Welcome to the Mosaic of Marion, a weekly podcast hosted by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. and presented by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It is our sincere hope that you'll join us each week as we explore what it means to be part of God's big picture through biblical discussions about the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives each and every day, starting today.
What up out there, podcast land?
Oh, there he is.
Are we ready?
Now that my headphones are off, yes, we are.
I went back to the OG.
You did. You did.
I had a little, as my father used to say, a little scuttlebutt about how I was doing. Some scuttlebutt around, son. He would say that. I'm like, what are you talking about, Dad? Just some scuttlebutt about that. That's his favorite word for gossip, scuttlebutt. Dude, what are we living in, the 1940s? Dude, you weren't even born then, I don't think. Yeah, I guess he
was.
Had to be because I was born in 69. That math don't add up the other way. so what's up?
Hey.
Hello. Greetings. I don't know. I out of the corner of my eye, I saw Hank turn to me. I was like, I guess it's my turn to say hello. I gotta say something.
Dude, you know who you look like over there today?
Who?
I just hit me. You remember the cartoon Ed, Edd n Eddy? Your little wave you got going on with your hair. You look like, I think Eddie was the one with the wave, wasn't he?
Man,
I don't know. Eddie.
I hadn't thought of that in forever and a day.
You used to watch. I'm like,
yes.
I watched for like 30 seconds. I'm like, how stupid is
it
that,
is, it
Drew?
Is.
I'm like, you're putting that mess. Well, Dad, this is not SpongeBob.
True, true.
I said, you got a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids are not allowed to watch SpongeBob.
Mine either.
And so they were like the only kids ever got to watch them. So literally one day they're at my mother-in-law's house. I was on visitation. I get a phone call in the middle of visitation, and she never called, right? And so I'm like, I need to go take this. Hey, can they not watch SpongeBob? No, ma'am, they can't. Well, they told me they couldn't, and I asked them, why not? I said, watch an episode.
Right.
So anyway, yep, I was that dad.
Yep,
there were certain shows they could not watch.
Hey, I don't disagree with that at all.
But yeah, you look like Ed, Edd n Eddy over there, buddy. Triple E.
Worse.
You're not Triple H. You are Triple E.
Whoa. Oh my.
It's my wrestling name. I love it.
Just gave you a wrestling name a minute ago. It was something else.
I can't keep
remember we were talking about it because I was watching a wrestling video while you were setting up.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, that's my wrestling name. Anyway.
I was here. I missed
it. No, you were late.
Yeah, my son called. I needed to talk to my son.
Nathaniel, we shall not have any of that. We are on a very strict schedule here.
It was a well-oiled machine.
Leaking it. So it was so well-oiled. Yeah. But and then Mona, she just rolls up in here in her sunglasses. Like she's right out of Hollywood Boulevard. I don't know that you'd want to be there
so
right now.
Excited. I was excited that it was sun was shining so I could use my sunglasses.
Barely shining.
Dude, you have no idea how excited she was yesterday about them stinking sunglasses. That's all she talked about. Every time she came in my office, I went back, she goes, I get my sunglasses tomorrow. Praise Jesus.
You know, I can't lie. The first time I got prescription sunglasses, because I never could wear them.
They're prescription?
Did you get prescriptions?
Yeah.
I was very excited because I was like, I've never been able to wear them. Like, I've always had to just wear my regular glasses.
I lost a pair of prescription glasses in
the
ocean.
Are they on your head now? You said they're prescription. I mean, they're progressive.
Yes, I have progressive.
Stop.
I did because I thought maybe I left them on my head and didn't know. That has happened before.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so, hey, I'm Hank Meadows, lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Got my home slice, Miss Mona.
Hey, hey.
Got Triple E. Over yonder,
I'm so big. I'm all three Eddies.
Well, you're just sort of a conglomeration there. All I can, dude, you're like Kilroy. I see you from the nose up, bro. Maybe that's what I should call you, Kilroy.
Man, I've never known anybody to have so many names. I know
you do have a lot.
I'm gonna get Tammy Morgan to make him a shirt with all of his names.
It's just all down the.
We have to literally. We need next week.
We'll
let's
go
sit
long
down
sleeves
and make a and figure out everything we've ever.
We keep
well
him.
Specifically me.
Yeah.
Has
oh,
ever
that's
called
great.
Him. That and that's his. That's your Christmas present.
That oh, that's beautiful. I'll take it any day.
Like the bean one.
Yes, I love that shirt.
I got you the home slice shirt.
Yeah.
Two of the greatest Christmas presents ever given.
Yes.
T-shirts.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we're in Acts chapter 20. Oh, we're going to finish up this way. I don't know we're going to finish up, let's be honest. We're going to get going because we got a bunch to talk about. What do you want to do? You want to read?
Sure.
Or you just want to jump in?
We should read. What are you asking?
I think it's pretty clear.
No.
Do you want to read? We're going to pray.
Okay. I think we should read. I think we should just do what we usually do. Why mess with something that works?
We are a well-oiled machine.
That's
leaking it all over the floor. All right.
Whatever. So, where do you want me to read to, though?
We just had this conversation before we came on air. 26.
I know that. Where do you want me to stop?
Wherever the Spirit moves you.
Okay.
Or I speak up.
All right. So we're in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 26. Therefore, I
Okay, that's enough.
Oh, my. I don't even do that. Like, totally.
Okay.
Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood.
Is there not just so much in that right there?
So much.
Let me just stop right there and just try to get through that.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Dan, pray.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we can spend in your word and spend with each other. But more than that, we pray that this time would be a time that glorifies you and points those that would listen to you into the fact that the church, those that we are family believers with, our ability to be that church, to be that family, was paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, let us not forget the privilege it is to have that family that you provide for us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So what do you get from that? What jumps out off the page? There's a bunch of jumped off pages, people. What do you get? What's something that just jumps off the page?
Well,
yeah, you hear me being quiet. I'm waiting for y'all to answer the question.
All right, I'll jump in because
Mona is like,
I was trying to figure out how
her eyes are adjusting from being progressively in those sunglasses.
she can't read the page. All right,
I could have.
This is the part that jumped at me more than anything else, which is pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and this is the part, to care for the church of God, who he obtained with his own blood. I think sometimes we look around, we're like, oh, it's just a group of people that have something in common. We don't really think of the fact that the church is a gift from God, and that the reason we're able to be that family is because we all have salvation that was bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I think a lot of times we're very flippant about who the church is and what it is designed to do, and we forget that God designed the church for a particular purpose.
And we fight the battle of people see the church as this building.
Yep.
When
yep.
it's not.
Absolutely.
The church is the people
yep.
that make it up. And then I heard a guy, I'm not going to detail who he was, but I heard him, guy, preach this, and here's what he said. He said, there's all this discussion about being diverse in the church today. He said, you know, Scripture doesn't teach that. Hmm. Scripture teaches us to be one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be unified.
There is only one race.
Mm-hmm.
The human race.
Right.
There are different ethnicities and different, obviously, I can't think of the word. I mean, as humans, we just have this thing, melanin or something, that makes you darker or lighter. And that's the only difference in us.
Yeah.
Right.
When I heard it, I was like, that was so moving. I'm like, he's so true. God never said, go be diverse. Mm-hmm. No, what does he say? Go be one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And therein is the problem. So many people don't want to be one as a church body.
Yeah.
They want to be diverse.
Well, I was just saying they won't be diverse. We don't need to be told to be diverse. That's the problem. We don't struggle with that because what are we diverse in? Well, we're diverse in whether or not we think Scripture's inerrant, whether or not we follow the Scripture. You know, all of that kind of stuff, the worldly stuff, what we struggle with is that unity, that oneness that you're talking about, yeah.
But we're diverse in every aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm a pastor that's just a big goofball. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, until I'm preaching. But I just don't see John MacArthur being as goofy as me. You know?
I hope when he's alone, he's just the goofiest guy.
I don't know if it's going to come across that way.
No.
Or guys like that. And so we're even diverse in our preaching styles and this and that. But the question is your church, and this has been my prayer since I've heard it, and it's been my prayer all along, I really think. I didn't really word it like that guy. Is God make us one, that we're all pulling in the same direction?
Right. Well, just because as we think about our individual bodies, that as we bring in people from all over the area, and so in and of ourselves, we will be diverse. But as you said, if we need to be unified in that this is the church that Jesus bought with his blood, and we are his church, and these are our purposes, and this is why Jesus set up the church. And so as we come in as individual people, then we need to make up that.
Well, when you cross the threshold, I was just thinking, when you cross the threshold of that door, humility should be the driving factor of you in these walls of this building. Mm-hmm. And I don't think many times we do. We come in with agendas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Prejudices, self-centeredness, and all of that is ungodly and unbiblical. Yeah. When Jesus literally says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all those ones in Ephesians chapter 4. And so this pastor, man, he hit it right dead on the head.
And Mona, when you were talking, it just hit me, you know, again, that picture of, and I love this about Mary, the mosaic that is Mary.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that...
That may be the greatest thing I've ever come up with here at Mary. I'm not lying.
And it is great because it's the idea that, you know, if you had a mosaic and every tile or every piece of glass, if we're talking stained glass, was the same color, same shape, it wouldn't serve a purpose. It'd just be all one color. But the at the same time, if they were just all thrown in there willy-nilly, there wouldn't be a picture there. Is this idea that even with the unique shapes and unique colors and all that, they all serve the same purpose to create the same picture. They need that unity and purpose,
Did you catch him?
Huh?
Did you catch what he said?
No.
He said the mosaic, that is me.
Yes, I did. Oh, yes, that I did.
He did not say the mosaic.
I'll go back and edit that out.
It's good to go back to our roots.
I gave him for that.
So it reminds me of Jesus' prayer in John 17. And in that, I'll start at verse 20. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, which includes us. And then verse 21 says, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Mm-hmm. And then later in verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. And so our going out and telling the world about Jesus depends on our unity. And if the world doesn't see us as unified, they're not going to hear our message of the gospel.
Give me a verse to back that up.
I just did. Well, you got another one?
Never enough.
Well, you know, that is a lot of that focus there is on Jesus saying, I'm you and you and me. And so, but he does say, obviously, let them be like us.
Right.
But listen, Oh, where is it at? Say something, Dan, while I look for
How about them Dodgers?
Well, what's it about?
It's something to the effect, they will know that you're my disciples when you love one another.
That was in First John. In the 70s, you know.
They will know we are Christians
by our love, by our love.
I used to love it because it always had, you could always hear like tom-toms in the background. We are one in the spirit. It was great. Hey, you told me to say something.
That's right.
This is your fault.
Oh, come on. Where is it at? It ain't even going up.
Man.
Don't you hate it when you can't find it?
Yeah. Especially when you got dead air.
Yeah, when you got dead air and we're just
struggling.
We have
to edit some of this out.
Yeah, edit some of that out. But if I can quote you this one. In 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Anyway, but that's what we're called to do. So, anything else about that, Dan?
No, I'm good. Mona, were you?
I was gonna go to 26, and the reason I hesitated because I didn't want to admit it out loud. That, you know, Paul says, I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you. And I guarantee that I can't say that that's true in my life, because I guarantee that there are times when I definitely shrink away from speaking of Jesus and talking about the gospel with people and not having those conversations that I should have, and walking away and thinking, I should have, you know, at least asked a question to make them think. And so for Paul to be able to say that, is beautiful, but it's also just a challenge to us that, you know, can we say that?
Right. Well, that was what I was going to say. That jumped out. And it's really for Dan. You know, I know he's going to preach somewhere this Sunday. It'll be the past Sunday. Yeah. But, you know, when you get to your church, and I've told this, that verse specifically to Drew, you have to declare the whole counsel of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the reason I encourage you guys, and that's the reason I do it here. I preach through books.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if you're not careful, you'll get caught on preaching your favorite subjects and your favorite verses. Now, you obviously going to preach verses over and over again.
Sure.
I mean, especially, I've been here 22 and a half years. But I make sure when I preach through books. Mm-hmm. And I know the books that I've preached sermons out of, but not really a lot. And so, actually, once I finish what we're doing now, I'm going to the book of Deuteronomy. And I said I was going to preach about 10, but I don't know, that may be growing. But... So not only that, and by the way, when you do that, you're going to make people mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I've told you guys, I've preached sermons before, and I've had people waiting for me to tell me just how sorry I was for preaching that message. And my comment is, I'm not getting mad at them. My comment is that I say anything unbiblical.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's what counts, right?
Well, and I, you know, I've said this before, so I don't think it'll surprise you. There's been sermons you had where I'm like, I didn't really like that. I didn't like that message. I didn't like the scripture. But I've never left and said, I don't believe that was biblical.
Right.
And so I can't argue with it just because it hurts my feelings. It's still just as true just because I don't like it. It doesn't change.
I've preached stuff and I've been like, you know, I can't stand it. I'm preaching. Because it is hitting me.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll find this out. You pastors deal with it all week.
Yeah.
We sin.
Yep.
We fight our own personal issues.
And then the conviction of studying this.
You're studying and going, God, I know I'm not supposed to do that. And I know I do that. Oh, my. And then you preach it and they're like, well, I don't think he's very nice preaching that. You just stepped on my toes. Well, number one, it wasn't me that did. It was the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't aiming for your toes because you can pick your feet up.
Yeah.
He was aiming for your heart. Because that's where change comes. And then I love the other one, and neither one of you guys said anything about this, so I'm really surprised. Did you catch, Paul sort of puts it in there. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves first.
Mm-hmm. The order there is important, yeah.
Now, we always hear that when we do stuff, it's for Jesus and then others and then yourself. Mm-hmm. But Paul here, the whole context is making sure you're staying within the bounds of Scripture. Make sure you're looking at your... Jesus said something very affirming. Before you get the speck out of your
that's what I was thinking about.
Get the plank out of your own eye.
Yep.
And I think that's... I'm being good with hermeneutics here and exegesis. Pay attention to yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
First.
Yep.
So before I ever say anything about you guys and what you're doing wrong, I better make sure I check myself.
Right.
Where are my failures and my flaws and my faults? Now, I, as pastor specifically, and Paul could do that, I can tell you what fruit I see or don't see.
Right.
But I better make sure I'm doing it to myself first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Or I don't think you're qualified to say somebody else.
Right.
And therein lies a problem in a lot of church people is we want to point a finger and never look in the mirror.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Or make sure that, and also, and also make sure that the things that you are telling the congregation that they need to do, be in the word and be in prayer, you need to be doing it yourself too. So yeah, that's a really good point.
I've always heard it said the church is a mirror of the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that to be true because there'd be a bunch of cuckoos out there like your pastor. Yeah, maybe so. So anyway, so what we got, Dan? What we got left?
Oh, we got time. We got 10 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
But you got something else for that? Hit on that just real quick.
Okay.
But even that goes back to what you were just talking about as far as, you know, us spending time in the Word preparing for that message. A lot of people say, well, you know, you come out here and you preach at me and say, no, it's because I've pointed it all at myself first. You know, the ones that don't are the ones that get in trouble because they're, you know, they're not holding themselves to what they're pointing out in everybody else. But, yeah, there's been times where I'm like, can you give me something else to preach? This, I don't like this. This hurts.
This passage is not.
Yeah.
Bro, and you'll find people, especially when you get it. I've had people. It is so funny. Have you been watching me and me not know it? You're preaching right at me today. I'm like, bro, I don't have a clue what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
But I know somebody who does.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to get into the other part, the fierce wolves, the savage wolves. We'll deal with that next week. But what about this thought? And we do everything, all of that stuff, but you do it all. You preach, you declare the whole counsel, you pay attention to yourself and to the flock. Now, there's a point that you got to be pointing, you know, telling the flock too, whether through preaching, whether through one-on-one, never like trying to make fun of somebody, but it ought to be always done in love. We know that. To care for the church. I wonder how many people truly do that. I wonder if we could get people to be honest, do you really care about the church or do you just want power in the church? Do you care about the church or are you just looking for a pat on the back? Because if you care for the church, you're going to be invested in the church. And by that, I don't mean just showing up on Sunday morning for an hour and then you're not here the rest of the time. People get mad. You know, people get mad at me when I say that. I mean, literally, I've had people say, well, you're always fussing. Tell me what I'm not doing. All I said was, you ought to be invested in the church.
Didn't say anything about you specifically.
I didn't say you. Yeah. I'm like, you ought to be involved in the church ministry. You ought to do things, not just show up on Sunday. Caring for the church is, man, love it. But it's what I believe we do well. At Mary, I'm almost going to say what I'm thinking. I think we do that well.
Yeah.
Some people will disagree, and they got a right to be wrong. We care for our people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for each other. I've been in churches where, man, when the preacher said amen, it was a rush out the door to see who getting their car first to see who to get to the most famous little local shack to eat lunch or whatever.
Beat the line at Bojangles.
Yeah.
And here, you know this. Y'all both know this. I try to be the last person to leave.
Right.
So that anybody wants to have a conversation with me, I'm here. They can't say you left and I'll leave for you.
Yeah. Right.
Man, it is like 12. Sometimes I'm like,
you have to push them out.
Okay, y'all. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Right.
That's just a good problem to have, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they just love each other and they stand around and they talk and that's caring. When you hear that word, care for the church, what comes to mind?
Well, what I'm thinking of, and one of my favorite things that we do here at the church is when somebody needs to be prayed over, and we all come forward and we all stand around that person and pray for that person for that's whatever the specific need is. And ever since the first time I experienced that here, and I did not experience that at any other church, and I've been to several, having moved several times, but it's such a beautiful picture of how our church does care for each other. And then, I mean, it's just a great picture of the necessity of gathering and praying, and where two or three are gathered and praying and lifting each other up and just supporting each other. And I just think it's when we do that, it's a beautiful thing. I love it. That's one of the things I love.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure all the churches do it, but I haven't been. It's just something I just thought of one day when we need to pray over somebody. And I said, y'all just come on and lay hands. So I love that.
Right.
And I think it's easy to, and I'm guilty of this. We've been at Marion for a while now. It's easy to just assume that's how it is everywhere. Right. We kind of take it for granted. But the things I was thinking about was, first of all, if you want to have a if you want to care about your church, what does your prayer life look like?
Yep.
You know, do you pray for people in your church? Do you pray for the church, for leadership, all of that? And it's one of those things, I guess I'm being selfish now that I'm preaching. Do you pray for your pastor?
Yeah.
You know, we're so quick to be like, oh, did you hear what he said? I don't like it. But how quickly do we pray for him?
Yeah.
And the other thing is Romans 15, right at the beginning, talks about, you know, using your life to build up, to edify the believers around you.
Right.
And I think that's key, too, is like, if you really care for your church, you think of the impact of your actions and what you say. And I mean, that, you know, I've been guilty of this, saying something negative about somebody. Well, you never know who here. And they're like, yeah. Well, if that's how they talk about their own folks, so I won't be
we
part of that.
We never have that concept of somebody else could hear what we're saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if that's how they act up there, I don't want to be a part of that. Right. Or just at any church, if that's how church is, they talk about folk like everybody else does. What I need to go for.
Yep. And again, really, the way you start impacting that part of it is, again, through prayer. It's hard to keep talking about somebody when you're actively praying for them.
I literally told the youth that last night. Mm. I asked them if there was somebody that they, quote-unquote, hated or really, really disliked or despised. I said, let me encourage you with this. Start praying for them.
I'll attest to that,
Yep.
And when you do, it it doesn't change them.
Right. It's not
it
about
changes you.
Them, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had one youth go, well, what's the use in that? God bless you, man.
If you want to walk around that hanging around your neck, go ahead. But I get the weight off as soon as possible.
And I just say, I said, because you will never change the other person.
Right.
The only person you can change is you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to close right there because we don't have time. And that's one aspect. Now, I want to say this. That's one aspect of the care of church. There's also another one that deals with when you got to take a stand and fight off. Here's a preview of next week's. And you got to fight off fierce, savage wolves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of caring for your church. Yep. So you just don't let wolves come in and destroy
it. Right.
Mm. Sometimes you got to go to battle.
Yep.
Right.
When God calls you to, when there are savage wolves. And we're going to define that next week. And we're going to talk about what savage wolves do. And we're going to do that. And then I'm thinking the episode after that,
I haven't told him yet.
Have we ever planned ahead this?
Is the one when we're in Brazil.
I haven't mentioned
Dan, you're going to be wrangling cats that night, plowing water.
I haven't told him yet.
Nothing like finding out on air.
Our plan is, I'm going to say it.
All right, say it.
Is that our spouses will do that episode the week we're gone.
Come on.
Dan is going
to not care about my well-being.
Dan, you're going to have to be here sort of the leader.
You got it right. Okay.
We just can't turn them loose.
Can we do a different theme like me and three toddlers or something? I feel like I could handle that better.
I promise you, I cannot wait.
I bet you can't. You'll be how many miles away?
I'll be somewhere about 4,000 miles away.
I'll be wishing I was. It'll be great. It'll be something.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
It'll be something.
Nope.
So look, when y'all are taping, it'll be 7 o'clock, so we won't be working at that moment. We'll probably be eating. So Dan, I'm going to get you to call us when they're not paying attention and just let us listen. I'm just kidding. I kid.
If y'all aren't working, I could just phone it in. We could record you two again.
No.
Oh, good grief.
It's going to be the spouses episode.
I cannot wait.
It will probably be our highest listen to episode of all time. Above circle circle dot dot.
Oh,
now
no.
I got my cootie shot.
Oh, no,
I'm sure the sheriff's department will listen to it.
Is today 200?
It is 200 today. I almost forgot.
No. You were in charge of not letting us forget.
You should have written it inside your sunglasses. You'd have seen it. I couldn't resist.
He should have had him engraved right there. 200. What? Can you believe it? Seriously.
200.
And people still listen. That's the amazing thing.
Yep. Hey, we found out about a new one today. So shout out to Jennifer.
What? Yeah. Up top. Yep. I remember. I mean, I've said this many times. I always want to do a podcast. I would tell my son, and that would be the end of it. And then when COVID is what, all of it.
A lot of this stuff was kind of born out of
mess,
it.
Yes, man. It was born. So many things for our church.
Yeah.
This being one. Yep. And God bless us. We've come from, thank you, Mona, for being on this. Let's be so.
Welcome to the Mosaic. That is Marion.
Why do we so connect like stiff reverential with being pious and all that.
Yeah,
when,
yeah.
I mean, God made us who we are.
Yeah.
At what point did we just flip the switch and be like, you know what? Do you have any idea?
No, I just assumed it was whenever, like, because I know how you guys are. It was very much like tensing them. You can only do it so long, and then you just kind of.
It may have been when you first called me home slice, and I had no idea what that meant. But that may have cut the ice, yeah. I think, a little bit.
Well, the first dealer.
Whatever it was, I'm glad it happened.
Mona's comment, well, I'm so thankful to be on here with such a spiritual man of God as you, Hank. I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm going, who is she?
We got another Hank on the show?
What? I mean, what? Anyway.
200 episodes for a temporary guest host.
Yeah, I was only supposed to be on once. Yep, here I am.
And what? I mean, literally... I've only done one episode by myself, and let me just say, 30 minutes of my life. It was after that when I told her, I said, all right, you're on forever. I remember telling you that, like, you're on forever. Really? And then slowly Dan was just listening, and then he would be squirming over there.
I got tired of yelling into her microphone.
And then he'd be like, well, I just want to say this. And then it's like, okay, Dan, come on.
Just get a mic.
So.
But thank you for listening.
I'm gonna flex a little bit. Not like Ric Flair or Tony Atlas. How many episodes is Goose of Grace at?
Which season? Which go around?
I forgot. Y'all do seasons.
Whether we intend to or not, we just happen to do
it. I'm kidding. All right, let's pray, y'all. Father, God, we love you and we praise you. God, we love the church, all three of us. I know our hearts, and we love the church. And God, because you love the church and gave your very life for it. So, God, be with us. We do pray. And thank you for this opportunity to share God's word. And we just love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am Hank Meadows, lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Got my home slice, Miss Mona.
Hey, hey.
Let's go back to the OG. Got the bean of the board over there. Ooh. Oh, what the hey. Triple E.
The ids.
The ids. God bless you guys.
Bye, y'all.